I'm going to speak this morning about God's immeasurable love. God's immeasurable love. Who can measure this love? Who can measure the love of God? There's been so many songs that have been written about the love of God. There's been so many songs that has that element of love in it. There's been a lot of spiritual songs, hymns, about the love of God. And, you know, we used to sing, when I was a young lad, in the church, lots of hymns. We used to have a hymn sandwich, you know. We used to call them hymn sandwiches, you know. So we'd have a hymn, and then somebody would say a little bit, and then we'd add another hymn. It's not much different today, like, is it, I suppose? But anyway, the dictionary says about that word immeasurable means you can't measure it. All right? Simple, isn't it? Okay. It's not measurable. You can't put a measure on the love of God. It's vast. It's wide. It's deep. It's high. And it's immense. It's immense, the love of God. The word love, and you've probably heard this from lots of speakers, the Greek word for love, you know it, don't you? And what is it? Agape love. Or agape love. Well, there's two words. The verb, right? If you know your verbs, your nouns and your adjectives, and well, the verb is agapeo, agapeo, and the noun is agape, agape. And in most occasions where love is mentioned, especially in the New Testament, right, it's in the Greek, that this is what Christ used when he speaks to his disciples. When he talks about God's love, he talks about the agape love of God. It's an unconditional love, right? It's a love that is made, you love by choice, not by feelings. It's an act of the will, right? I can choose to love you this morning. It's a choice. Right, like you don't need to buy me things. You don't need to, you know, say nice things to me. You don't have to say all those things. I choose to love you. And I love you this morning. I can look you in the eye and say, I love you in the name of Jesus. I love you in the name of Jesus. Because if you're a child of God, you are the church. You are the body of Christ. And if I love the head, I'm not going to hate the body. I love the head. Jesus is the head of the church, but he has a body. Hallelujah. But I love the body as well. And so it's unconditional. This agape love, it's exclusively belongs to the Christian community. The Christian community. Exclusively, it belongs to this, the Christian community. You won't find it anywhere else, this agape love. You won't find this kind of love. It's exclusive. To me, that's a revelation to me. That those who are not in the kingdom of God cannot understand this kind of love. Of course, there's the other word called filial love. Filial love, which is friendship, which is a real affection for somebody, like a parent has for the children. That's the filial love that we give our children. But when you become a Christian, when you become in the kingdom of God, of course that rises to the agape love. And you love your children even more than you did before. Or should make a difference. So that agape love, it is unknown to the writers outside the New Testament. It's unknown to them. Because the New Testament writers, they experienced this agape love. And this morning, I wonder if you've experienced the love of God. I wonder if you hit in this place this morning, knowing the love that God has for you, because He loves you, really loves you. This love, the love of God, it's God's love. God is love. It does not need chemistry. You know, like when you start to go out with each other, if you don't have the chemistry, you might as well pack in. There's no chemistry there. I'm pleased there was chemistry when I went out with Carol. If there wasn't any chemistry, you know what I mean by chemistry, you know, you click and you know, there's a fusion there, you know. It's called love, you know, love. Amen. So you don't need the chemistry. You don't even need infinity. You know, you can buy infinity rings now. Well, you always could. But infinity rings, you know, it's my love will last forever and forever and forever. Well, with agape love, you don't need that. You don't need to prove your love for Christ with rings. You don't need feeling as well. Because one day you'll wake up and you might not feel that you are in love with Jesus. You might feel guilty, you might feel upset, you might feel you've let Him down. It doesn't make any difference. He still loves you. He still loves you. So God's love doesn't depend on chemistry, infinity, or feelings. It will not seek anything but the highest good for fellow mankind. This is the love I'm talking about this morning. It only seeks the good, the highest good for the fellow of mankind. And that's the love that needs to be in the church. It needs to be amongst us as believers. You know, because we are encouraged in the New Testament to love one another. My first point, and I'm going to take a well-known scripture. It's John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. God loved when really there wasn't any reason to love the world. There wasn't any reason for Him to love mankind. This makes it even more wonderful. It makes it more wonderful, a wonderful, a special love, special thing, when it is set upon the lost. This verse is set upon those who are perishing, those who are lost. For God so loved the world. Let's just take that little bit. He loved a lost, a ruined, and a guilty world. What was there in the world that God should love it? What is there in the world that God should love the world? When I say the world, I'm meaning the people. His creation, His people in the world. They had enmity against Him. Hatred to His truth. Disregard to His laws. They were rebellious. I'm describing us, you know. I'm not talking about somebody else. We can put we. We were against him. We didn't want anything to know anything about him. We didn't want to know anything about him. And Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us." He died for us when we were sinners, when we didn't have a thought about him. God's love reached us. God so loved the world. Hallelujah. He so loved it. He loved it so greatly, so divinely. He loved it so much that he gave. That God gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. He gave it because of a perishing world, a perishing mankind, to gather out of those that were perishing, to gather out a people to himself, to his praise. He loves because it's his nature. It's God's nature to love. God is love. And we read in 1 John, you know, that book is all about God's love. You know, beloved, you know, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know, and it says, if you know God, you will love. If you know God, you will love. Love will come, for God is love. He gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. I'm going to just look at how he gave his Son. He gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Son was known as the Word in the beginning. He was with God. The Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father, they were one. They had this love that we experience amongst each other. A love that's unconditional. A love that when Jesus prayed his prayer in John 15, he prayed that they may be one. The love we have for one another, let them experience it. Let them know the love that we have in the Godhead. He gave all of him. He gave all of Jesus. You know, it's sometimes we can give something and we can dedicate something or someone. You know, Hannah, she dedicated Samuel as a little baby, as a little young lad. But she knew she was going to see him. She knew that there would come the time when she would bring a new coat for him. She knew she was going to see him again. God sent his Son, and he was going to forsake him. He was going to turn his back on him. He gave all of him. Jesus left all of heaven's glory to come to this earth. He was the heir of all things. Now we are the joint heirs with the Son. As believers, we're joint heirs. So all that Jesus has, we have. Hey, that's great, isn't it? All that he has, we have, because we are heirs of the Father. Joint heirs with the Son, praise him. He gave all of him. He sent him down. He sent Jesus down amongst the scribes, amongst the Pharisees, who vomited their vile accusations at him. Words like, he does these miracles in the name of Beelzebub.
The Son of God. He has a devil. He has a devil. The Son of God, the pure Son of God, being subject to this, he sent him down to this earth and to face those scribes and those Pharisees. They must have been a horrible bunch of guys. They were called whited sepulchres. Whited sepulchres. They were death on legs. Yeah. He sent him in the midst of poverty. He said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was born in a stable. A stinking stable, friends. Have you ever been in a stable? Have you ever been in a farm? Carol, my wife, she was born on a farm, not in a stable. No, but she was born on a farm, and when I did my wooing and courting, you know, I had to go through 6 gates in a little Morris A40 or A30 with they were little cars that, you know, that you felt every bump. And I went through about 2 or 3 pairs of shock absorbers while I was courting, dating. And how many times I stood in some... You know what. But it was love. It had to be. Who would go through such... I wasn't going to say penance. But who would, you know, sacrifice so much? Sorry, Carol, if you're listening. Sorry. He sent him in the midst of poverty, born in a stinking stable. Yeah, and he sent him down to the scourging. He sent him to the crown of thorns. God sent his Son. God gave his Son over to this kind of treatment. He sent him and exposing his back to the smiters, to his cheeks, to those who plucked out the hair. God sent him down to suffer on behalf of mankind, on behalf of you and on behalf of me. All these things, Christ came into this world and suffered because he loved us. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. See how the Father hides his face from him. It seems as if he disowns him. He doesn't want to know him. He turns his back from him. And Jesus cries out, Lama sabachthani. Which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him to be a curse for us. He gave him that he might die the just for the unjust. There was nothing in Christ that warranted any of those things. The immaculate Son of God. The fact is, Jesus was always, he was always the gift of God. He's described as the gift of God. He was always that from creation. Even from creation. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, of the world. Foundation. And all that time, all that period of time, God knew his Son. He would go to the cross. All that time, he knew that he would be sending his only Son. Can you imagine You fathers or your mothers, and you've got a son or even a daughter, that you know that years ahead something's going to terrible happen to them. Could you go through such pain, such anguish, such hurt, and thinking about it, dreaming about it? I want to say, God knew that day was coming. He spoke of it in Isaiah. He prophesied through the prophets the coming of the Messiah. And praise God, he came. Born of a virgin. The incarnation. God, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin. He came, and Jesus knew all about it. He was still willing to come. We wouldn't, as parents, be willing. We'd do everything in our power to stop what was going to happen. But he didn't. He willingly allowed his son, because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. Down through the ages until that day came. Why? Why did he come? Well, that verse tells us, for whosoever believes on him, or whoever believes on him, should not perish. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you are without Jesus this morning, I say this not glibly, you are perishing. I say this morning, if you have not Jesus in your life, in your heart, and you're not following him, you are perishing. Most of us here were perishing. We were perishing. Amen. I was perishing. I was without Christ. I was lost. But he found me. And this morning I just want to emphasize the fact that there is salvation for those who are perishing. What do I mean by perishing? Well, you're on your way to hell. You're going to hell. That's the fact of it. You can't, water this down, friends. You're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. And if you don't know, you are going to hell. Because those who are going to heaven know, are assured they're going. I am going to heaven, praise God. I've known that ever since I gave my life to Jesus Christ as a teenager. And I've never doubted it, because Christ is everything to me. I knew I was perishing. I knew, even at the age of 13, I knew if Christ came that night, if the second coming of Christ happened, I knew I wasn't ready. And young people, children will know these things. Do not belittle the salvation of young ones. They know between right and wrong. They know God has given us all a conscience, a moral conscience. And he has given us that for a purpose, praise God. A purpose, because we will know what is right and what is wrong. But men love darkness rather than light. People love darkness. That's why they reject the Son of God. Oh God, help us this morning to realize the wonderful salvation that we have. Now, today, we are saved. If you are not, get saved this morning. Receive Christ. Receive him into your life. He has died for you. He has paid the price. He's paid the price on the cross of Jesus Christ. And praise God, you do not have to perish. He paid the price. He paid the penalty of sin, your sin, my sin. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you have a choice to make. You choose. You choose Christ. You say, I will follow him or I will reject him. And rejecting Jesus is rejecting God's wonderful love. When we reject Christ, we reject the love of Christ, the love of God. My brothers and sisters this morning, the love of God is something that grows in us. I'm speaking to believers now. The love of Christ grows. His love grows just as a wonderful union of a man and a woman can grow, friends. It can grow. It doesn't happen all the time, whether you're a Christian or you're not. But when Christ is in the center of that relationship, the agape love of God overrules the eros love, the sensual love, right? You know, eros is in London there. Sort of like his bow and arrow. Ooh, to watch that. But that's bordering on lust. The agape love, friends, isn't a fleshly love. The agape love is something that is a choice. Choose to love one another. Choose to love each other. Even when we get upset. Even when somebody does something in the church and you take offense, choose to forgive. Foster, and I said this to the people at Stockton, foster a culture of forgiveness. Because you can't forgive without love. You can't forgive without love. It's pointless. You've got to have the love of God. And if you have the love of God, you will forgive. They work hand in hand, praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you this morning, friends, to receive his love. We're going to sing a song in a while. Here is love, vast as the ocean. We're going to sing that. And let it be. Let it be that this song ministers to you. If there is anyone who is perishing this morning, if anyone is without Christ, I look round and I think, well, they almost follow Jesus. They look so holy. They look so spiritual. They would never do anything to displease the Lord. We do, don't we? And it's a good thing that we have the communion table. But beware not to use that like a confession box, like a confessional box. Because you can, you know. You can come every Sunday and, God, I've failed you, forgive me. I did this, I did that, you know. It's just like going to see a priest, isn't it? Sometimes you can be saying, you know, treat it as a love feast, friends. This is a love feast. You know. God doesn't condemn you here. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Even if you failed, even if you've messed up this week, don't feel guilty about it. Deal with it, confess it, repent, get it out the way, and just prepare yourselves to come around the Lord's table and love him. And let his love come upon you. Let his love overshadow you. That's what communion's all about. Communion is sharing God's love with him and with one another. Because we come as a body. But every part has to examine themselves. Every part has to search themselves. I've got to search myself this morning and see if there's anything that I need to get out of my spiritual life. Very important that we do this, friends. Not take it for granted. This is it was a blessed time when it was initiated by Jesus. Jesus couldn't wait to institute this with desire. I have desired to eat this Passover, you know. And he said he would not eat it anymore until the future kingdom, the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to say that this is a precious moment. A precious moment to tell Jesus how much you love him. Tell God how much you love him. Tell him because of the wonderful thing that he's done for God so loved the world. God so loved, you know, we used to put our name in there. You know, God so loved Luke Taylor, amen, gave his only begotten son for Luke Taylor, amen, for everyone. God loved us. It's a personal thing. Even though the world encompasses everyone in the world, even those that rejected the son, have rejected and are rejecting. And notice that it's future as well. Right? That he gave his son for all who would be born in the future. That's what he did, God the Father. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the love of God, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the good news. And all those that are perishing round us, Lord. Lord, we have such a tremendous gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, forgive me when I don't talk about you as I should. Forgive me for not sharing the gospel how I should. Forgive me, Lord, this morning. Lord, I pray that, Lord Jesus, Lord, the Spirit of God will give us power to be witnesses for you, effective witnesses. We'll share the love of God. Lord, you love our neighbors. You love those that even we can't stand. You love them. So help us to love them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God.